Father, open our minds, open our hearts, and open our lips, and grant that we may receive the Word of God. Save the sinners, revive the backsliders, and sustain thine own believing people. And to thee alone shall all the glory be given. And the people of God said, Amen. You may be seated. We have been reading tonight a most interesting and yet alarming chapter of Scripture about the King Asa. And in the 12th verse of the 16th chapter of 2 Chronicles, we read, "And Asa, in the 39th year of his reign, was diseased in both his feet. Until his disease was exceeding great, yet in this disease, he sought not to the Lord, but to the physicians." Let's stand and watch what's happening in the kingdom of Judah. The great and mighty monarch of that kingdom was Asa the Great. And what a king he was, and how triumphant he was in his battle in Africa for supremacy. He was, from early days, devoted to the worship and to the magnifying of the God of Israel, Jehovah God. For the first 10 years as a young prince, come early to the kingdom, he brought down his hand of true lawfulness with pure judgment and tremendous might. Peace built on justice was the outcome of his reign and the outcome of his victories, which gave Judah back to peace. The idol altars were all smashed at his command. He removed the Sodomites out of the land. He outlawed the wickedness of idolatry and smashed the false religion of his grandmother and dethroned her. Her special idol he ground it to dust and smashed her special outrageous idolatry. Asa was a man perfect in his heart, and he was wholeheartedly loyal to the true God of Judah and Israel. The devil's crowd rose in fierce anger against him. Zerah the Ethiopian, with 1 million of his dark-skinned soldiers, invaded the land of Judah. He came with 300 chariots filled with soldiers with terrible might and terrible power. And he ordered them to destroy the throne and destroy the king Asa and to destroy the people of Judah. Asa marched his short, small army into the field of battle. But he depended not on his own strength, nor did he depend on the strength of others. He depended only on the strength of God. And in the battlefield, before the fight began, the true man Asa triumphed, for he called the people to pray. And so they prayed, and so God answered prayer. And the vast hordes of the Ethiopians were slaughtered, and Asa had a glorious, triumphant victory, which set up the land to live in peace for a very long time afterwards. For 25 years, that peace continued. But another enemy, none other than a member of his own family, Baasha, the king of Israel, became the transgressor against King Asa. Instead of Asa calling another prayer meeting, instead of Asa turning sincerely to the God of Israel, Asa turned away from God and rather called upon the Syrians, wicked, hateful enemies of Israel, to become his partners in the battle against Baasha and the kingdom of Israel. Asa broke his relationship with his God. He broke the basis of true repentance and true regeneration with God. And he refused to repent. And God sent him a prophet. And the prophet came, and the prophet denounced Asa for his terrible surrender of truth and terrible peacemaking with a man determined to destroy the promised land. Asa received a punishment. A punishment in his body. And his feet were stricken with a terrible disease. That disease of his feet was exceedingly great. He could no longer walk. He was cursed with the disease. He became absolutely powerless and impotent. He was totally crippled. In the New Testament, there was an apostle called Peter. He rebelled against God. When the Savior, before he died on the cross, said he would wash the feet of all his disciples, Peter rebelled. And he said, "You'll not wash my feet." The feet are that part of the body in contact with the accursed earth. Except there are cleansed feet, there can be no conquering victory. Continuing sinning must be cleansed. There is a way of deliverance, but it's on the terms of God only. A bitter battle ensued. Evil forces slaughtered the armies of this disobedient king. And it was war, 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 until Asa could no longer walk, had to be carried round his kingdom. And the kingdom was in the hands and under the jurisdiction and army of his enemies. God had called the king Asa not to surrender, but to stand up to the enemies. But instead of doing that, he surrendered. And it was war, war, war in the Christian's experience on earth. If you are going to gain heaven, there is a fire to face, a foe to defeat, evil temptations to be rejected, and dedication to God revived within the heart of those that believe, once did believe in God. But Asa had turned away from God. Asa had gone to the embrace of God's enemies. Asa had turned his own peaceful land into a land of rebellion. Asa took this hideous disease in his feet. There was no pardon because there was no repentance. There was no deliverance because he never offered one prayer for the help of God. So this story that we're studying tonight is very sad. It's very dark. If this man, Asa, had given a little less indulgence to the rest that sin had brought to him, if he had given more contrivance to what was happening, if he had a little more devotion to the God of Israel, all of these things would not have overtaken him. But he turned away from his God, his father's God, his grandfather's God, and the God of the great King David, who was also in this royal line. Oh, what a sad day this was for the children of Judah. The preacher's task is not to make himself popular, but rather to get his listeners to be obedient to the commandments of God. How many Christians hate and detest pure-hearted gospel preachers because they themselves want to live on in worldliness and in sin. Oh, my friend, tonight, turn from your rebellion. Seek the cleansing and the help of the Savior that really loves you. Repent of your backsliding. Return to praying in the Spirit. For there is mercy, there is pardon with the Lord, and he will truly give you rest by trusting in his word. But King Asa refused to repent. He wouldn't return to his first love. He would not return to the God that he once loved and trusted and obeyed. What a scene of tragedy. Diseased feet, no way forward. Those diseased feet were the barrier to any victory that was possible. You turn back in your Bible to the 13th chapter of John's Gospel, you will see Peter making the same mistake, foolish sinner that he was. And when the Lord says, I'm going to cleanse your feet, Peter, Peter says, no, you will not touch my feet. So as the Lord went round the upper room and cleansed the feet of all the apostles, there was one man in rebellion, and that was none other than the apostle Peter. But God looked him in the eye, and he said to him, Peter, I am warning you. If I can't get this basin of water below your feet, if I can't get the soap and the cloths to cleanse your feet, I must tell you, you will never be any part of me. Only by cleansing can the sinner know the power of purity and the power of forgiveness. Humbled, Peter knelt beside his Lord. The tears of Peter fell into the basin where the water was and where the Lord was washing his feet. And he said to the Lord, if you're going to cleanse my feet, cleanse my all. I need total cleansing, not partial cleansing. Thy faith is weak. Thy foes are strong. And if the conflict should be long, the Lord will make the temper free. For as thy days, thy strength shall be. Should persecutions rage and flame, still trust in thy great Redeemer's name. In fiery trials thou shalt see that as of thy days, so shall thy strength be. When called to bear the weighty cross of sore affliction, pain, or loss, or deep distress or poverty, still as thy days, thy strength shall be. When ghastly death appears in view, Christ's presence shall thy fear subdue. He comes to set thy spirit free, and as thy days, thy strength shall be. Cleansing and renewal are absolutely essential. Let the cleansing of Christ be ours this very night and every night. Let Christ pour after he has poured the water of cleansing by his blood upon our sinful souls. Let him soothe those washed feet with the sweet oil of anointing. May it be ours. I would say, let me finish the race. It is a great race. Yes, it is a hard race. But it is a blessed race. If I'm going to finish it well, I must run with patience, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. Let me finish well. May I finish on the crest of the wave. Brothers and sisters, let me warn you of the danger of diseased feet. finally, if your feet are diseased, your place will be hell. It will be darkness and no forgiveness. But tonight you can turn to the Lord. The great bath of His blood is available to every sinner. The great hand of tenderness and patience and forgiveness is His. With patience, zeal, and holy love, may we the appointed race fulfill, and all our hearts be fixed above, looking by faith to Jesus still. Those sore afflictions may abide, and foes combined may strive to kill. No real harm shall us betide, looking alone to Jesus still. We'll welcome life. We'll welcome death, just as it pleases thy sovereign will. With joy we'll live, or yield our breath, looking by faith to Jesus still. Ere long, we hope His face to see, and sing in Zion's heavenly hill, where this our happiness will be, looking with joy to Jesus still. The death of the king was a tragedy, but his burial was a great triumph, because with all his sinning and rebellion, he had prepared himself for death. And so we have the marvelous description in that 16th chapter of 2 Chronicles. And it says they buried him in his own sepulchres, which he had made for himself in the city of David, and laid him in the bed which was filled with sweet odors and divers kinds of spices. And they made a very great burning for him. It is appointed unto man once to die, but after death, the judgment. What sort of life are you living? A life like Asa? What sort of death do you expect to die? Or have you prepared like Asa for the time of burial, when the past evil will be forgotten through the grace and pardon of God, and where you will pass from the night of your sinning and the disease of your feet to a land that's fairer than day, and to the place of perfect peace with God. A heart at perfect peace with God. Oh, what a word is this. A sinner sanctified by gospel grace. What an experience that is. Come to the Savior. Make no delay. Here in its midst, He's standing today. He's tenderly saying, come. Jesus said to all sinners, him that cometh unto me, I will in no wise, I will in no wise turn you away. Oh, turn while the Savior in mercy is pleading. Oh, steer for the harbor bright. For how do you know but your soul may be drifting over the deadline tonight. Don't let it be a deadline. Let it be a lifeline for you into the kingdom of God. Let us bow our heads in prayer. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for Thy Word. Thy Word is truth. Write it on all our hearts, and may none here perish through their own hardness of heart or bitterness of soul, but may they turn while the Spirit in mercy is pleading. May they really steer for the harbor bright. For how do they know that their soul is not drifting over God's deadline tonight? Speak, O God, a word of salvation to the hearts of men and women this night for Jesus' sake. And everybody said, Amen. Amen.